Thank you, God. You know, amazing things are going on the earth. There's a God who's pulling together a people. And there's a spiritual force that's gathering a people. Same time, simultaneously. And I know I say this a lot, but it is just on my heart. So I get to say it. Yeah. And that is, it's impossible to conceive the thought that what God did to Adam could end up what happened to just the flesh. God created male and female in the flesh, did not breathe into them the breath of life. They didn't become a living soul, am I right? And those people were so out of control, God couldn't govern them. Because God has to govern by a surrendered heart. God only can govern by a surrendered heart. And they had no mind to surrender to God. So after all that time, it was a long time, but God finally drowned them all. Then we come to Israel. And you guys, they had zero mind of God again. They were throwing God out. And then Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. You guys, how could that be? How could men and women who have been born with the Spirit of God, nobody on the planet has been born without the Spirit of God since Noah's Ark, am I right? Because we all came from that same lineage. The flesh was all drowned. So every man and every woman has that opportunity for the Spirit of God, for us to make a connection with real God. And then we look back at physical Israel and we realize, wow, how could they have the Spirit of God and end up the same as the people that had to drown in the flood? Total rebellion against God. Cannot, will not yield and surrender to God. Wouldn't acknowledge God. Wouldn't see God. Yeah? So you guys, I take that as a warning, because he said he was going to have a marriage supper for his son and his friends weren't coming. So I'm concerned. I've preached this since I was under the tent and before. We're going to have to make certain we're there. We have to be certain we receive the invitation which we got to marry the truth. And then we're going to have to marry the truth. We're going to have to honestly let him court and win our hearts. Yes? So as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And you guys, what he said was, you won't even see the destruction come, because it will come so rapid. You'll get up in the morning, same morning as every other morning, do what you did that morning, and then destruction will come, just like it did on Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah? Just like it did when the flood came, because they got up that morning, a little bit of droplets of water began to fall from the sky. God shut the door on the ark. And everybody on the outside drowned. Everybody on the outside drowned. So God has a provision for you and me. And you and I want to have the Spirit of God stay in touch with God. Yes? So we recognize that God is talking very clear about these things and bringing us to a place where the understanding is he has a will in his Word that you and I want to take hold of. So I want to go to Luke chapter 7. And I want to read this portion of Scripture again. We've read this over and over. We've talked about it a lot. But you guys, just like everything else in the Word of God, there are things that the dynamics of it have one more message. And we are only beginning on the messages. There's going to be way more than one more message on this same thing. I believe we could do a series of teachings on the things we're talking about this morning. But I want you to bear with me, because it's a story we've gone through and gone through. And what I want is to have the Lord speak again to our hearts. Because you and I are spirit beings. And the warfare that the enemy intends to wage against us is to get us in a place where these very things begin to happen to us. And you will notice in your own life that these things have happened to us. They do happen to us. Because the enemy wants to separate us. He wants to do stuff that would keep his spirit from bringing us to victory. Now, my hope is that everybody in the place goes away thinking, he preached that message just to me. Because I'm pretty certain if it hit me like it did, then pretty much all of us will be a candidate for the exact same thing, because the Word just does that. No, you're saying, okay, well, then why did you warn us? And that is because if I'm listening and I'm thinking about how other people would perceive me, then I do rebuttal. I argue in my mind for my position, yes? And what God wants is just to open it up and have us look at it and go, okay, that's me. I'm changing. Let's do this different. Yeah? You want that? I want that. We all want that. Now, the thing is, but if it seems like I have talked to you before, and I hope I have, about these very things, then you're thinking, well, if he comes back to the same subject, evidently, he didn't think I listened the first time. But this is not that. This is God reminding us of the severity and the importance of the things that are actually going on. And there's an intensity of trafficking in this warfare. And the enemy wants to do something against the body of Christ. So I want to go to Luke, the 7th chapter. And I want to deal with this warfare that come against the man of God. And I want to go to, I talk to chapter 7. I want to begin with verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I believe that you are here. I believe you are here by God's divine appointment. So, if it seems as though the word is a mountain, you want to remember that if God brought you here, the message isn't a mountain. Faith brings you to a place of victory. That's why I was talking about the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven and John seeing the river running out. Same thing. The Spirit and presence of God is jumping over all the stuff that's coming. And he's bringing a word from the Bible to us that says, look, there is victory. So you want to remember, I'm already counting on the victory because I believe that God knows how to get me to that place. But the warfare is insidious. It is a thing that Satan, in his actually heavenly wisdom, if I can say it that way, because he was an angel created in heaven and lived in heaven. So he understands God really well, and he understands flesh really well. So this story you're familiar with, and we've preached about John the Baptist a bunch on this same story. But when I was reading it yesterday, starting with the 11th verse, it said, it came to pass after that, he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And you guys, this is where I never started way up there. Where this miracle took place. Where this life was given back to this dead man. And that the disciples came to talk to John about this rumor going around that a great prophet was visiting God's people. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? See the impact of that thing? when the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. Now God, I just pray that you would touch us with the most tender presence. God, we need you to get into the very depths of our being. Our minds are a place where all kinds of thoughts bounce around. All kinds of words. God, we deal with one another. We deal with relationships. We deal with people that are on fire for you. And then we deal with people that are not on fire for you. And God, we even deal with people who are against you and your spirit. But they travel with the company of the saints. They travel as though they are saints. And God, we pray that we would be none of those people. God, we pray that. We're just asking you, God, that we would be those people who walk with you and talk with you. And I don't believe, God, that Satan can triumph over anybody. I don't believe that. Lord, if you've called and chosen, I believe you have a victory in store. I don't believe that Satan triumphed over John. I don't believe that Satan triumphed over John. Now, God, I pray you'll take this word and, God, make it where it is a warning to us and a safeguard. Lord, that it is an instruction that would keep us diligent. God, I just pray it in your name. And, Lord, that we would overcome every obstacle that the devil would try to bring. God, I pray it in your righteous name. Amen and amen. Now, what I want to talk about is that word offend. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Because the word is scandalized. The Greek word is scandali. Scandalized. And I want to read you what the definition of that word was that Jesus gave to the disciples to tell John. To offend. Okay. To put a stumbling block or impediment in the way upon which others may trip and fall. To cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. Do you understand what's going on there? When John sent those men to ask Jesus, he was the forerunner. He was the witness. And Jesus told his disciples, you go tell John, you be careful that you're not throwing up a doubt in the minds of these people here that will run through Israel and take away my authority. You be careful that you don't do that. Now listen, you guys, here's the thing. Our minds come through lots of trials successfully because John, they came to John and told him, hey, that guy that you baptized more people than you. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. See how that worked? So the devil was saying, hey, look, John, he's a greater ministry than you. He said, John, he's the bridegroom. I'm the friend of the bridegroom. See how that was working, percolating, working right. His mindset was absolutely right. Doesn't bother me. I want him. I want him to be blessed. He's going to get the bride. I'm just preparation for all this stuff. That's who I am. Now he's in a dungeon. And he's in this trial that he's going through. And you guys, when you're in a trial, you begin to look at the way people treat you when you're in a trial. And so what happens is you begin to see and think things because you're going through an adversity and in your mind is an adversity. And you have an adversary. And what happens is when Satan sees that this adversity is opening you up to suggestions, He knows he can operate then because you're very tenderized. So whatever he was telling John, and I have no idea, with this picture of these people all talking about a great prophet has come, John came to anoint the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's obviously going to be a sacrifice. And Jesus, of course, telling him, you're a priest, you have to wash me. So you get this mindset that says, he's going to get the bride, this thing's going to work fairly fast, and I'm the friend of the bridegroom, and we together are going to get this thing done. Now, the ministry of John is shut up in prison because his ministry isn't going to continue any further. Now the focus is totally on Christ, and John is not just giving it to Jesus. It appears that he has been sidelined. And now his mind is trafficking for the enemy. Because the enemy can come in and begin to find fault with Christ. Let me read one more thing that it says that it is. To see in another what I disapprove of, and what hinders me from acknowledging his authority. John was sending those people in front of a crowd to honestly cripple the voice of his testimony, behold the Son of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Because when the people were fighting with the authority that Jesus had in the temple, what Jesus said, he whipped this out on them. John, I got a name you know. You want to know who I do this? By whose authority I do this? He said, you tell me about John. Is the baptism of John from God or men? Huh? That's a solid footing. Why? It's because in the book of Isaiah, it prophesied John would come do that. In the Old Testament, it prophesies again and again that there's going to be somebody forerun the Messiah. So now he's the forerunner. And you guys, you can't think of a more sure place that you could hang this nail. Now, the Bible talked about Jesus being the nail in a sure place, yeah? But then it came out. So the nail's going to come out. But here's the thing. You understand that what's happening with John is that the way the nail came out was the same way it came out of John. John knew that a voice from God told him, this is him, he said, whom the dove descends on, the same is he. Yeah? Now you guys, how can you go from this seeing the dove descend to this place that now you're down in a dungeon and you're hearing these things that are going on? It's like, did he get sidelined? I don't know. This great rumor is going on that a prophet has arisen, a great prophet. Not just a prophet, but a great prophet in Israel. John was the first prophet in 400 years. Is this prophet territory? Because when the people came to Moses and said, hey, there's some people in the camp that prophesy, you get that they were looking for this. They were looking for this thing to find fault. We're going to find fault. And what Moses said is, you think I'm offended? You think I'm offended because somebody prophesies in the camp? He said, I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. Because prophets are called seers. And God showed people what was coming, and that's what he wanted. He said, if you give an offering to a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. And the prophet's reward is God said, I will do nothing except I first reveal it to my servants the prophet. Something's happened to the Church of the Living God. We've quit giving offerings to the prophet of God. So if the only prophet you can think of is Jesus, give him an offering. Prophet, priest, and king. Almighty God, Lord of lords, King of kings. He is God. Lamb slain, bridegroom, everlasting father. I mean, we got all kinds of names, but here's the deal. Give the offering to the prophet in the name of a prophet. Jesus, you're a prophet. And I'm giving this offering to you in your name of a prophet because I want the prophet's reward. You tell me what's coming. We had 6 rapid funerals in this church at the beginning of this year, since the beginning of this year. And God told us every single one is coming. Every single one was coming. When I left the funeral down there in Missouri where Donna's mom had passed away, God told me there's going to be another funeral. My phone rings. This is the truth. My phone rings. And Kendon tells me, Brother Rice, I'm up in Missouri. My granddad's going to die. He's on his deathbed. They're talking about disconnecting him from the life support. And that wasn't the end of it. God said there's going to be another one. And you guys, just as rapidly we get information, another funeral is taking place. So you guys, here's what God does. He tells us what's coming. He tells us these things that are going on. And I believe that God knows how to get us through all of these places to the very word He wants us to hold on to. Because the enemy is just trying to raise up contention or trouble in your life. Now, the Spirit of God brings us past this. So this is the thing that John is dealing with, you guys. That's the only answer Jesus gave him. Blessed is he. Blessed is he who's not scandalized. So John was being scandalized. Yes? Are you listening to me? A voice was telling John something about Jesus. And it was taking away his sense of surrender to his authority. And what's happening is the same kind of work. Now, if the devil did that down through the ages, he's going to continue to do that. So what he wants to do is that same thing in us. So what happens is, you guys, we've had people that came to this church. And then a voice began to scandalize the church or me. And then they would get angry at me and leave. And they didn't just leave. They had to scandalize as many people as they could on their way out. And it cost, you guys, it costs people. And that's the thing. The Spirit of God's got to bring us to a place where we look back across the things we've done. How many times the enemy can get us in an upset place and we scandalize somebody who's a believer. We want them on our side. We want them to hear our side of the story. We want them to see how bad somebody is. And you guys, what happens is that it creates in us this offense against the things of God. And then what happens is, if you stop somebody from receiving the authority that God has placed in somebody because you were angry and upset with them, what happens is it begins to take a toll on them. So you guys, I think that every person in this place is going to have times that that same thought process is going to happen to us. I believe it will happen to the people of God because Satan has used it successfully. If he used it successfully against John the Baptist. A brother came to me and said, I had a dream. He said, mind if I tell you? I said, no, go and tell me. He said, I had this dream that you had all kinds of earrings in your ear. Both ears. I said, yes, brother. I said, there are a lot of people that will tell you Brother Isley said this. And I actually didn't say that way. But yes, indeed, my ears are full of earrings. Because it's all attributed to what I've said. So I got to tell you something. What the enemy wants to do is bring this thought process to everybody in the body of Christ. This isn't something that just happens in Lecompton. You guys, this is going to happen universal to the church. Because the enemy knows that if he can create a scandal against those men or men of God, what happens is, their thought, and they carry the word. They take somebody, ooh, here's something, and they know it's going to cause trouble between me and somebody else. It's like, well, hey, I wanted to tell you this, because, you know, I got this tidbit of information, and I just love having your fellowship divine. And so, if I tell you this, you're going to be all happy that I told you, because actually, you'll be more in tune with me than them. I'm blinking on that. It's like driving fast on a motorcycle. I'm looking out for bugs. Because you guys, that's what happens in the body of Christ. Listen, if it worked against John the Baptist, do you think you and I are immune to this kind of warfare coming against us? But you see, the thing is, if I'm not paying any attention to what the enemy can do, it's easy when you're up on the mountain and everything's going right. But faith is tested down in the valley. Yeah. Because it's there that you're isolated alone. And when you get isolated and alone, you guys, your thought process gets stuck on you. And that's what the devil tells you, is that nobody loves you, John. It's like, John, everybody loves you. The entire southern United States is going to have churches named nothing but your name. They're going to be big. They're going to be fancy. They're going to dog everybody that doesn't join. John, everybody loves you. Don't kid yourself. The thing you did is eternally important. Because what you did is you actually sent a light of illumination, because the God who loves His people tells them a message in advance from a man that is born supernaturally. You're a supernatural birth. Your mother couldn't have had you. Your dad didn't believe the angel. And here you are. Now you're down in a dungeon. John, go back. Go back to where you came from. Go back to the day your dad was standing in the temple burning incense. Now you feel like everything has been ripped away from you and that God isn't paying any attention to you and nothing's going on. But John, you couldn't have been born. You laid an egg in your mother's belly and you could not be birthed. And then one day God sent a word down and said, I have picked this woman and I have picked this man because they live righteously. And out of them is going to come a righteous child. And that righteous child is going to grow up. And when he turns 20 years old, he's going to go out into the wilderness because at that age he would have to become a priest. And he'd have to start doing the duty of the priesthood. But he knew he wasn't a priest. He knew he's something more than a priest. And he understood, I can't learn from the priesthood what it is that I'm going to do. So he went out of the wilderness, got a hold of God, and began to talk to God. And there in the wilderness, the Spirit of God began to lay a foundation that he could bring forth a Messiah, that he could bring forth a lamb, that he could bring forth a priesthood that would wash that lamb and do it to the people and bring them to a place of repentance. Repentance, John. You've been the heralding voice of repentance to this nation. How much do you mean to me? I'm looking for a remnant, John. And you've baptized them. I'm looking for a remnant, John. And you baptized them. And you told them this. You cannot receive God without repentance. You guys, listen to me. We begin to harden about the things in life. And we begin to get buffeted about this and buffeted about that. And what God's Spirit and presence is doing is bringing us back to this centerfold that says you pay attention to this thing. You keep repenting. You keep tender. You keep pliable in the hands of God. You let Him walk with you. You let Him talk with you. And when it looks like you've been sidelined, you're not sidelined. You're not sidelined. Somebody was talking to me about not having a place to live. I said, I left Denver, Colorado in a car. I had no place to live. A Pharisee came to Jesus one day and he said, Master, he said, I'd like to see where you live. He said, I have no place to live. He said, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes in the earth. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You're in the same place Jesus was. Yes? Complain about it? How could you complain about it? I'm the same place the Son of God is. So it's like, what company have you got? What company have you got? But that's what you want to make sure, isn't it? You want to make sure what company you join with when you're living alone. Because you'll join yourself to somebody. But you have to be careful who you join yourself to. If you join yourself to the saints of God, the Spirit and presence of God will begin to dictate to you your thought process. Your spirit will receive what's going on in other people. And if you get around the saints of God, you're going to feel like that presence of God is on you and that you too are part of the kingdom of God. Then repentance comes and God indwells you and the Spirit of God begins to lead you. Yes. Yes. So that when I had no place to live, I moved way out in the country. And I just decided, hey, there's no church out here. But there is a church out here. And so we began to pray. I said, okay, then I'm going to pray. Then I went down. I got a telephone call in the middle of the night. Steve Wilson, my buddy Steve. And I'd written his... he talked to me and said, listen. He said, I called your mom because I had your mom's telephone number in your Bible you gave me in Vietnam. And he said, I'm looking for you. I said, well, I'm easy to find. He said, all right. He said, I'm back in Tulsa. I said, this is super because I'm getting ready to come to Muskogee, Oklahoma. I'm going to go to a meeting down there of David Terrell. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll just come through Broken Arrow and find you. And I still have the Bible. And I wrote his mom and dad's address down and how to get to it. If you want to find out how to get to Steve Wilson's old address in Tulsa in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, thank you very much. Candy, whew, you're amazing. So, but you guys, here's the thing. What happened is he called me. And him and John came down there to that revival. Then I wasn't back in Nebraska very long, and my phone rings. And they said, hey, and it was John Easel. And he talks like a man who's lived in Tulsa all his life. And he said, hey, this is John. And he said, Stephen, I'm thinking about coming up and visiting you. I said, bring your stuff and stay. And they brought their stuff and stayed. Now, there's a bunch of us having church. You get what's going on? And we started praying around the clock. We had an old granary out there. We cleaned that thing up and we began to pray. Because you know what? You don't start church with just the Word of God. You start church with prayer. Because what you want is the Spirit and presence of God revived inside of you. And you want the things I pray for is that God will help me to break up the fallow ground in my heart. And in Hosea, he said, break up the fallow ground. You guys, you can't plant seed on hard ground. Jesus said, a sower went forth to sow. And the seed that fell on a hard place had no root. You see, when you break up the fallow ground, you can put that seed down in soft dirt. Then when it comes up, it has root. And he said, because it has no root, it can't endure tribulation and persecution. Root. You guys, the problem was with the heart of the receiver. It wasn't with the Word. The Word would have carried him through the stuff. But the heart had become hardened. You know why? Because it heard stuff. They took away the authority and the power and presence of God. And now we're listening with an ear that's judgmental instead of an ear that receives. And the devil knows what he's doing. And I got to tell you something. There are people on the brink of disaster because the devil is a destroyer. And what you want to hear is what the voice of God is. Because God didn't tell me to judge me by what other people said. He said, judge me by the fruit. Either there's fruit or there's not fruit. And either the Spirit of God is doing what He's doing or it's not doing these things. And you guys, just like this morning, you can't replicate the power and presence of God because you're singing a good song. You have to have the Spirit and presence of God here. So that root, God commanded you and me to break up that fallow ground. And you know how we do that is in prayer. And you know how you know you've got hard ground? Because you know you've turned hard. And it's dry. And you feel like you're cornered. You feel like you've been passed by. And if you cry for help, people around you will talk bad about you. Listen to me carefully. The devil will convince you that if you ask for help, people will start talking bad about you. When you get to that place, the devil is saying, stay hard. Just stay hard. Because you know what? The Bible said, confess our faults, we'll do another. You know what confessing faults does? It opens you up to other people. And when you can do that, your heart is tender. When you believe the saints of God will take care of you, your heart is tender. When you believe they will help see you through the stuff, your heart is tender. When the devil starts telling you how bad they are, what happens is you want to stay away from them. When the devil talks about they don't love you no more, the devil just wants to tell you that they don't love you no more. But you know what it is? It ain't that at all. It isn't that because God has a way to get this stuff done right. Because He knows who you are. And so when you start feeling that place like I'm divided off from the brothers, you know, they talk about me, they don't like, you know what you're getting. You're getting that talk that says, I don't think you fit here. I think they would, you do fit. No, you know what I am? I'm part of the body of Christ. And God Himself has planted me. And I am like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. My leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever I do will prosper. And the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You and I have a rock solid call. You didn't come here by accident. But I've got to tell you something. If you're going to stay, you're going to be able to be invincible. You're going to have to take the thoughts because the enemy is going to do everything he can. Jesus said, listen, if they talk about me like this, they're going to talk about you like this. Now, you're going to get talked bad about. Nice as you are, you're going to get talked bad about. I'm just telling you. And when it happens, you're going to think, Father, can I call down fire from heaven now? And God's going to say, no. This is your opportunity to say, so mercy. So it's like, okay, God, here's the thing. I was being scandalized by a thought process that came from the enemy. Can you be scandalized by a thought process that comes from Satan? Absolutely. And he can tell you, that guy don't like you. He does not like you. Look, he doesn't like you. He visited everybody else. He visits everybody else. He'll even, he will go to Nain. Do you know how little Nain is? It's like Lecompton with four houses missing. Nain. John says he goes to Nain. I'm languishing in a dungeon and he goes to Nain. I don't think he's capitalizing on time. I need him. You see, the most difficult thing we get, you guys, is needing something right now. And God's saying, tenderize and come. When I was in Nigeria, I didn't have anybody to even pray with me about this stuff. I just told the man, I need a taxi. I'm going down to the market. 75,000 people lived in that city. The market, it was hard to get to. I would set sometimes over an hour just trying to go get things that we wanted. I'm going to the market because I'm going to get cloth. Because I'm going to send the devil a message. I'm going to send the devil a message. He was telling me, you can't sleep. You can't keep living like this without sleeping. He said, you can't preach all day and pray all night. You can't do that. You'll lose your mind. And I went and got that sackcloth. And I just slid it over my head. I got a message for you. You take this back to hell. When I kneel, the door of heaven opens. When I pray, God listens. When I need, He supplies. I won't need sleep. I rest in the eternal promises of a never-ending promising I don't need to sleep. I just need to pray. And the day they threatened my life, I understood. God told me, you better get some sackcloth. The devil's promised to kill you in this place. My mom had a dream. She told me, I don't think you should go to Africa. She said, I had this dream. And they wouldn't tell me the dream, but she said, I think you should stay out of Africa. But I got to tell you something. The devil said, I'm going to kill this man this time in Nigeria. A guy that I worked with, Reinhard Bonnke, kept my container that I have at my house right now. You can come and see that container. It's set in his yard for several years. And when we shipped it back to the United States, he was coming to this church in September. And he died in a Nigerian filling station. They shot him 11 times. He worked with Reinhard Bonnke. He was black. There was nothing about him that could tell you that he was from any place else except the license tag on his car was from Ghana. And I had been in Nigeria twice. I had been all over that place. They knew who I was. They knew where I was from. And I got to tell you something. I understand that the devil makes a boast against people. He had young children that were still living at home with his wife. That was still living at home. And she was expecting him to come back to the house. And he told me in September, my brother. In September, my brother. I'm coming to Lecompton. I'm coming to the church. We're going to come to where you're at. Now listen to me. I understood that God was telling me you better get some sackcloth and pray. Because there is a war that's broke out against you. And I want you to understand that the devil has made a boast. Listen, we think the devil can't make a boast and it come to pass. That's where we hide away in the sanctuary of God. In the sanctuary of God. Because John the Baptist was destined to die. Because his ministry had finished. But I got to tell you something. The devil wanted him to die in his soul. The devil wanted him to die without the power and presence of God still in him. You and I want this constant watch on us. Am I in the tender place where the Spirit and presence of God dwells in me? Do I listen to the voices of those people who talk negatively against the true ministries of God? I look at their lives. They say they're a Christian, but they have zero fruit. Do you know what zero fruit is? Zero fruit is years of church and not a soul saved. Not a soul turned. Whole family just totally destroyed. Gone back to Judaism. If that is what fruit is, something's wrong with the tree. And what God says is you can judge them by their fruit. And what God's Spirit and presence is doing is saying, listen, you be careful of the people who talk, who have no fruit, because only Satan has no fruit. And what you and I want is to listen to what the Spirit of God has to say and walk where the Spirit of God would give us understanding. He said, listen, there are three things that Satan does always. When he attacked Eve, he used this. The Bible starts with this description. The first thing he did is he questioned the goodness of God. First thing he did is question the goodness of God. Listen, when Mary sent for Jesus, she was his friend. And she said, you have to come. Our brother Lazarus is sick. And he waited 4 days. Were there voices involved with that 4-day period of time? Were there voices involved with that 4-day period of time? He didn't come. He's my friend. But he did not come. You know why he didn't come? Because he wanted you and me to know that just like the woman that knocked, he said, listen to me, keep knocking. That woman that went to the unjust judge, keep knocking. Don't quit knocking. And you guys, what happens is that we feel like we should be able to knock and have the door open. And God said, listen to me. Listen to me. I heard you knock the first time. I knew this was going on. I knew. In fact, he told the disciples. Finally, he told the disciples. He said, Lazarus sleepeth. They said, well, good. Finally, he's going to be all right now. Jesus said, he's dead. They said, that kind of sleep. Oh, now what? Then Mary said, if you would have come. You listen? If you would have come, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, yes, and I wouldn't have got to do my funeral. I wouldn't have got to do my funeral in advance. Your brother was allowed by God to die. Because I'm going to come to a day that I'm going to die on a cross, and the devil's going to tell me you ain't coming up. The devil's going to tell me you ain't coming up. 3 days your body will rot. Your eyes will be gone. You ain't coming back. 3 days. So he's been gone 4 days. Now I'm going to show you something about me. You think I'm not coming up from the grave? Because that's what the devil's telling me. You're not going to come up from the grave. And God sends him somebody who's been dead 4 days. Because God's telling him, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. He said, roll that stone back. She just told him, I believe you're the resurrection. He said, roll the stone back. She said, oh, Jesus. He said, didn't I tell you, if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? See how quick that voice comes in to scandalize? Jesus, if you'd been here, is that a scandal? You can't trust him. I called you. Jesus, I called you. You didn't come. Now he's dead. What can you do now? He's dead. And I know he's going to be in the resurrection. I'll get to see him someday. And I'm going to tell him, if Jesus was just to come, you could have stayed longer on earth. And he came forth. And then hanging on that cross, the devil said, this ain't working very good. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God said, Lazarus lay dying like you're dying. And the same resurrection power is not going to fail you. I am the resurrection. The spirit of my presence dwells in you. What they do to your body will do nothing to your spirit. You are mine. And you're anchored in me. You see, God brings us through trials. And we don't get what the trial's about, but it's for us. Because if you ever need a miracle, when that Bell's palsy made the side of my face collapse, I thought it was a stroke. And Donna had asked me to go upstairs to see her new kitchen. And I couldn't finish talking. My mouth wouldn't talk on one side. My eye wouldn't open, wouldn't shut. No, the eye wouldn't shut. And I went upstairs. And Heidi came bouncing up the stairs. She said, she had scoliosis. We prayed for her hair. She said, you know the scoliosis? She said, God healed my scoliosis. I went to the doctor, my back is straight. They told her hair would never grow. If it gets much longer, we're going to have to cut it. They told her, your hair will never grow. See the scandalizing. There's a devil that wants to scandalize, but there's a God who answers prayer. And when I was standing in that kitchen upstairs, I knew I didn't have to go to the hospital. You have a stroke, you have to run to the hospital. They give you just a very short envelope of time that it'll be all right. And I stood up in that kitchen, and this is the thought that came into mind, right? Everything is going to be all right. Because God just sent me a messenger with a message to remind me. I'm a God who heals. I'm a God who heals. And he keeps on healing. I went home. I laid down in bed and I went to sleep. I still didn't know what was going on. But in the morning, my eye never shut all night long. But I got to tell you something. God healed me. and He delivered me. But standing in the kitchen upstairs in this building, He reminded me, you're not, if you had a stroke, it isn't going to do anything to you. If you had something catastrophic happen to you, it cannot go past me. I am the God that healeth thee. And when God's Spirit brings you a confirmation, and that's what He will do. He will confirm to you, I have an answer for you. And my answer will lead you past where you're at. I've got my Spirit covering you. You're not at the will of the enemy. You're at the will of God. And that's what you want. And you want fellowship with people who talk those things that edify the body of Christ. Edify the body of Christ. You want to judge yourself. Because the Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You guys, if your mouth speaks stuff and you listen to it and you think you need to write it down, tape record it, listen to yourself, what you talk all day long, and then grade it. Grade it. Bring it to the Word of God and grade what's coming out of your mind, because that's what's in your heart. What you want is something else to come out. And that's what the Spirit of God, that's what we are. We are the judges of what's going on in our life. If I leave that stuff in me, what happens is the Spirit of God begins to lift off and go away. You and I don't want that. God promised us that the Laodicean church was going to be a church that He was going to stand out on the outside. But this is what the promise He made to me and you. I will knock on your heart's door. If God knocks on your door, open your door. Open your door. But you want to be careful what you're listening to. If a voice scandalizes anybody in the body of Christ. If a voice scandalizes anybody in the body of Christ. Now there are false prophets. John said. Jude said. James said. Jesus said there were people that were among them that were not part of the body of Christ. They were not. They traveled along, but they were clouds without water. They made all kinds of cloud-looking stuff, but they could not produce water. The true ministries of God produce water. Jesus told the woman at the well, out of your belly will come rivers of living water. When I meet somebody that when they minister there is no water, I get that they have not paid time at the foot of the cross. You pay time at the foot of the cross, water flows through you, yes? Yes. Judge yourself. If we judge ourselves, He don't have to judge us. Wow. Is that a shortcut to victory? You judge you. I'd much rather judge me and have Him judge me, because when He judges me, it'll be too late. Yeah? So what you want to do is bring that judgment from God on you. Say, okay, God, you show me what it is. Now, I feel chafed, or I feel angry, or I feel upset, or I feel angry. All of that can happen. All of that can happen. But when you feel that way, it's like, wow, that's an interesting process of emotion. The second thing the devil does is he denies the severity of God. Told Eve, you won't die. You won't die. Listen to me. If we don't pay attention, if we believe that the things that God has told us are just things, we bypass why we have to break up the fallow ground. Why we have to surrender. Why do we have to surrender? Because you and I want to make heaven. And I don't want to get caught in a place that I suddenly start getting dry and worn out, and then I'm angry at everybody because they didn't help me out of my dry and worn out place. And then I'm complaining about everything. Listen to me. If your every other sentence is some sort of complaint, what you want is come back into that place and say, God, soften me. Bring back the joy of your salvation. God, something's happening to me that's hardening, and in this hardening process, I am complaining about everything. I'm finding fault with this, I'm finding fault with that, I'm finding fault with the church, I'm finding fault with you. You guys, the Spirit of God is talking to us because there's a way through this that the Spirit of God says, this is what the devil does. So, he questions the goodness of God, he denies the severity of God, and he slanders the motive of God. He slanders the motive of God. John the Baptist had the motive of God slandered to him. God's just going to leave you. He's just going to dump you. You're of no importance. Oh, you are of importance. And what the devil tempted him to do was take away the one thing that was recorded forever in the Word of God about his obedience. The devil tempted him to take away the one thing, and Jesus salvaged it for him. He salvaged it for the church. He salvaged it for the kingdom of God. He salvaged it for God. Yes? And when those people all, and when the disciples of John left, Jesus said, no, I want to ask you something. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? He said, this man was the greatest man born of women. But he said, he that's born in the kingdom of God is greater than he. It's because you've been born again of the Spirit, yes? He's old covenant. It's coming to an end. He's the last prophet of the old covenant. And now this new covenant's moving onward. He cannot outlive this transition to the new covenant. Can't. He just can't. That's the way it is, John. But if God asked you in the beginning, John, would you gladly give your life for a short ministry to do the most astounding thing that needed to be done? Wash the sacrifice for all humanity forever. Would you like to be in on and a partnership to salvation of every man, woman, and child down through histories? And it will be millions. It will be millions. You wash this lamb. You wash the lamb. And I will save the millions. You do that for me. And I will put your name on every saved person down through the ages. Nobody will miss what you did. Now, get this in your heart and receive it. Now, he didn't come. He didn't come. Wounded? No. Well, a little bit? No. No. I'm like the Apostle Paul. The sooner they cut my head off, the sooner I'm on the other side. See the difference? See the difference? Paul said, hey, look, kill me. Sooner the better. I'm here for your sake. I'm here for your sake. How many times did they beat him? How many times did he shipwreck? How many times? Listen, when you went through the stuff he went through, your body would finally say, God, look. Let's do something about this. God said, all right, let's cut your head off. Yes! Let's stand together. He did not question the goodness of God. Paul did not question the goodness of God. He did not deny the severity of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he did not slander the motive of God. They did all that stuff to him, and he said, I'll tell you why they did all this stuff to me is because I did all this stuff. I did all this stuff. And I'm serving God. And I did it to people that serve God. So I'm moving forward in God. And that's what you want. God, take me through the stuff of this life your way. Bring out of me what it is you want in me. Let's do this stuff your way. I'm yours. Finish what you started in me. Yes? Yes. Yes. So, our habitation is with the Lord. Yeah. So, when I moved to Nebraska, I moved with him. And I was telling him, God, I have no money, and I have no job, and I have no prospects. If my own brain told me to move here, I'm in a fix. But you leave me till the fix is done. Because when I leave here, either I will know you spoke to me, or you didn't. And if that voice that told me to come here was not you, then I want your voice in me, because you've spoken to me in the past. Now let's get this thing straightened out. And it wasn't because he hadn't spoken to me. He'd spoken to me a lot. But I wanted to know, here's you, here's me again. Now you tell me, if this is you, you'll undertake. If this is you, it'll come to pass. So, Heidi. Sure. Some people go to Georgia when it's really cold in Kansas.
Other people go when there's a pollen storm.
Oh, boy, that's true. Oh, yeah.
So this past couple of years, God's really used Holly in my life just to encourage me when I needed encouragement, because she got, you know, Gabby when doctors told her that she was never going to have another kid. So anyway, I went down to Georgia just to spend time with her and kind of, you know, tell her everything God had done. And I had never told her really what was going on with me physically. She just knew I had this promise and God would give her dreams. And so anyway, I broached the subject one day down there, and she was like, well, tell me more about that, like kind of asked me some questions and stuff. And then when I got done telling her, she said, that is exactly what happened to me. Like, exactly. We had the same thing happen. Mm-hmm. So it's like God just boosted my faith even more, because it's like, okay,
Well,
it wasn't just this little thing that she got over. It was a big thing. So, yeah, I'm just really encouraged and blessed. So.
Absolutely. Because she knew you were going to take Daphne when you left. If you didn't have your promise. That's what God does. Same thing, Sherry. Yes? The God who answers prayer. And He put in your pathway somebody.
On the road up here, we were talking about different things, but the Spirit of God had moved inside of my heart. And when I got in here and sat down, we were listening to the wonderful Sunday school lesson. The Lord brought it on my heart about the prophet of God who follows Him and has that obedience in him. That blessing goes out for everybody, and just that stirring and burning inside my heart. And I remember Ronan made the statement before that in the past he felt like that when he would come to church, he wanted to come from that place of being on his knees before God. And inside of me, when I thought of that, there was this spiritual reverence for the prophet of God coming into this place. And honestly, and I'm not trying to build you up, but I do know what the Spirit of God said in me, that the Bible says that the prophet's not without honor. Amen. And so inside of me, I was in the bathroom when he came in. But there had been that my spirit inside with me would acquiesce. And that was my mama's word, and I didn't understand it exactly, but it stuck there. But anyway, a surrendering and a tenderness to bow before God when the prophet came. Because I remember a story of a prophet going by, and these kids said, "Go up, thou bald head." And they were trying to say, "You're without a covering, Elijah. You don't have an ordination behind you. You don't have the head board around you. You don't watch after yourself like we think." Now, this is Sherry Ming, chapter 3, verse 2. But anyway, that's what I felt like, that those kids were saying to Elijah. Elijah just went on his way. He didn't do a thing. But there's an end of that story, and that story was this. It said that there were beasts. If I believe I'm correct, there were bears that came out and destroyed all 42 children. There were 41 encampments, and the 42nd one is under Christ. And when God said Elijah walked by, he said, "Your kingdom, Satan, you mock, you try to build up yourself, and you try to say that your kingdom's just like God's, and it is not, and it will be destroyed." But today I feel like God, not just talking to me about the reverence of this ministry, but He's talking to all of us as a body. In Africa, we went to a college, and if I remember, you were with us then too, Rachel. And we had all gone to the college, and Ron started preaching. Now, college is where they teach doctrine. This is what they were doing. And Ron starts preaching, and he comes to a doctrine, and a light goes out. I mean, somebody didn't accept that light. That happened until every light in the building was gone. And it did not pass my intellect. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, God was saying, "This place is in darkness. And they want to claim the light because they had all of this going." And I can't remember things I'd love to remember because I blame it on the brain aneurysm, whatever it was, in the memory part of my brain. Anyway, I can't remember all the details, but I remember it happening. There was a surrendering. Ron even had to get a light out to read the Bible. You know, but he had it. You know what I'm saying? He had it. As that place surrendered, one light after another came back on till the end of that revival. Every light in the building was back on, and I knew that God had said, "These people have surrendered." There was a song that God gave me after I'd come from a conference one time, and it's just for children, really. But who are we other than that? It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. This is the word of God. Given it shall be given unto you. This is the will of God. Pressed down and shaken together. Running over shall men give to you. Given it shall be given unto you. Yes, this is the word of God. When a man testified just a couple of weeks ago, and I saw it on the radio or internet, it was a doctor talking to Congress, and he told about, I think it was 1,200 or 1,500 that he remembered aborted babies this doctor had performed. So, but one day, and he had had a baby girl, and it made a difference in his life. But he said this day he walked in and he saw the parts of an abortion he had committed. And he saw this little face. He said, I can't tell you what happened, but something happened inside of me. And no more were those parts. No more were those things we had to put together to make sure we got it all back together. He said, but that little face was somebody.
Yeah.
But how many... How many had already gone? Sometimes you may not feel like you've got much to offer, but if the Spirit of God is in the thing, you've got everything to offer. That baby was dead, but its face witnessed. And in your heart, when you're crying out to God and say, God, use me, you may not feel like you've got a lot to offer. But if you're there,
yeah,
looking at the enemy, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Jesus uses.
Yes.
And I thank God for this ministry. I know you do too. And there's not a one of us, don't praise God, that they've stayed in the harness and done the work that God had called them to do. I wouldn't be here today if it hadn't been for the prayers of the saints. And I thank you for it.
We thank God for it. Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. Yeah, you guys, it is a blessing to have God do what He's doing among us. Now, you know, Lord willing, I'm going to leave tomorrow. And Brother Terry Davis and I are heading back down to Honduras. And I thought he had teeth to fix. And he said he's not going to fix his teeth. He's just going with me because I should have somebody with me. What a guy. So the Lord willing, we'll be leaving tomorrow. Now, I want to remind you that in 1 week, Nonpet and Clarissa will be here. And you're going to be blessed. If you come with expectation, you will get expected. And then 1 week from that, Michael Schneider and Sheila are going to be here, and their family. So I know you're going to enjoy that. On Wednesdays, Ben Packer is going to come in. I want these guys encouraged, and I know that they are doing ministry in jails and prisons, but I wanted them to be invited here because it's a blessing to have a minister here. It's been years since they've been here and ministered during the revival. So God's blessed us with the fellowship of these guys. And I know many of you travel down there to visit with them, which is all right. That's a great thing to do. And it blesses them when you come. But we appreciate the fact that they said that they would come here and minister. So I thank God for doing that. So the Lord willing, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And we want you to remember to pray for the meetings in Honduras. We're going to Cofradia. And I thank God for opening up that door. It's a real blessing because we want to do a meeting on the streets as well. So let's join in prayer. Jesus, we just thank you for causing our hearts to be tender before you. You bring us in this tenderness. God, we can keep it by paying attention to the things that are going on in our thoughts. God, we're not ignorant of the things that we think that make the difference. But God, what we pray this morning is that we would be that body on the face of the earth that stands for truth. God, that stands for the illumination of your Spirit and presence. God, you have answers we do not possess. You do things that we could not do in order to glorify your name. And Jesus, I believe you've been here this morning to encourage every single believer. I'm thankful for every person that's here. God, we are brothers and sisters. God, we are family. God, we love one another. God, it's not just a thing we say. It's a thing we feel. It's what we believe. It's what we're partnership with. God, you and one another. And Lord, I thank you for every believer in this place and the things that we contribute one to another. God, the prayers have been paramount in the things that are being done, Lord, still in Africa, all over Central America. And God, certainly we're blessed when we travel under the covering and canopy of your Spirit and presence as people pray for us. God, we thank you for watching over us. God, I pray that you would bring divine joy in each of these meetings. God, that Ben and Lynn would leave here, Lord, soaring on the presence of your Spirit. God, that the people would leave here, Lord, blessed, filled with your Word. God, the same thing when Nonpet and Clarissa are here. God, bless them. God, bless the anointing and the Word. God, bring forth your glory in this place. God, we pray it in your name. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in Michael and Sheila. God, we thank you for what you're doing in Fred and Sharon. God, in the ministries in this church, how you've watched over us and brought us forth. And God, what a glory it is, Jesus, that we work in a unity that is divinely appointed. And God, that we come forth in victory as only your Spirit can do it. And God, what we pray is that you would have your way in this place as only you can do it. God, every heart touched, every life ministered to by your Spirit. God, you doing what you do best. God, we thank you for your love and mercy and goodness to us. And we thank you for watching over every person. God, we turn this whole place over to you to do exactly what you want. God, not for just a day, but God, for as long as you want it.